The Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Real familiar and something. Well, you got a pastor gonna preach a Christmas message in June. No, I'm not gonna preach a Christmas message in June, but it wouldn't matter. Christmas is every day because Christ was born in somebody's heart. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26 through 35. And count the shells. Okay, the shell. Should be 12 of them. In Luke 1, 26 through 35. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Amen. He shall be great. Yes. And he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Yes. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born shall be called the Son of God. Amen. The Son of God. Amen. Precious Lord, we thank you for being a God with no compromise. We thank you for being a God. There's no wiggle room. What you say is what will happen. And we thank you, Father God, for all the great things that you've done. Father, we ask that you bless us in our day-to-day. Bless us as we sit in the sanctuary of your church. Bless us when we leave. And we ask you all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I started counting the great things and that God had done and what he was going to do. And one thing jumped out at me, and I don't want to go to verse 27, but I have to, because people are questioning. Well, you know, Mary wasn't a virgin. Mary, you know, who? How do you know? Listen, God's word says she was. Amen. See, God says she was a virgin. So when the question came up, she was messing around and Joseph, and she got in and said, hey, that don't even resonate with us, because we know what thus say the Lord. Amen. To a virgin. Yes. that's in the conversation. Okay? To a virgin. And I believe he said it twice. Okay? And the virgin's name was Mary. Okay? So anybody have a question? Well, I don't know. Stand on God's word. See, stand on God's word. The people of God, we have an obligation to stand on God's word. But the point out, where I want to go today is talk about the great things God has done. Great things God has done. And it says in verse 32, he shall be great. Amen. Just personalize that. Is he great to you? See, that's the question. Is he great to you? If you're a child of God, if you've been born again, if you received Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, then he has to be. He has to be great to you. He has to be great to you. He can't be lightweight great. He got to be great. Why? Because, see, his mercy was great. The mercy that it took to save us was great. His grace was great. Okay? God's love for us was great. When Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, when he said, "For God so loved the world." That wasn't no average kind of love.
Amen.
Okay? That wasn't no average kind of love. That was a great love. The love that God saved us with was a great love.
Yes, yes.
Okay? I hear in my mind, see, my mind go places. And I remember a songwriter saying back in the day, he said, "Love I lost was a great love." And if you hear one thing about this love, you won't lose it.
Amen.
Okay? You won't lose this love. The love that Teddy Pendergrass was singing about, walked away from him. This love ain't leaving you. Okay? How do I know? See, I hear people say, "Well, oh, I love him so much. Oh, I love him so much. How could this happen? How could he leave me? How could she walk away?" Let me tell you something. Based on the scriptures, she didn't love you.
Amen.
That's why he left. Or he didn't love you. That's how he left. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? I can only stand on the scriptures. Mm-hmm. See, because I know what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13. Love never fails. Okay? Okay? Let me say that. You scripturalize, spiritualize everything. Sure do. I have to. Because outside of God's love and God's word, nothing makes sense to me. Okay? Why? Because I'm saved. See? When the cross came, the world lost. Okay, when the cross comes into a person's life, then the world has to leave. Now, that doesn't mean it's not going to keep on picking at you and bothering you. But when you were carrying that cross, it means that the world has to. I don't even want to give it second place. God has done great things. Now, we know some of the great things he's done. I got to just take a list of the great things he's done. Parted the Red Sea. God parted the Red Sea. That was great. Okay? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That was great. It was God that brought the walls of Jericho down, and that was great. It was God that gave sight to the blind man, and that was great. It was God that prompted the prodigal son to come back home, and God is great. But what great things has he done for you? So we can go back to the Bible, we can see all the great things God has done, but is he doing great things for you? Okay? Has he done great things for you? When you think about the great things God has done for you, do you think about the great things God has done for you?
Amen.
See, Satan wants to remind us of our past and all the problems we can have, and God be doing wonderful things for us, and we got one little situation. And you know what we do? We take all our attention and give it to that instead of thanking God for all the wonderful things he's done. All the wonderful things he's done. See, that's how Satan is. That's how Satan is. Think about this. Think about where we was. And if you saved, you were here. How do I know? Because it's God's word. See, we don't sit here and say, "Well, this is a Christian Bible Baptist church." Well, it's got to be Christian Bible Baptist church. We just got a Bible, Bible, Bible. Okay? Everything got to be Bible, Bible, Bible. I don't know if that's what Pastor Shell's had in mind, but it has got to be Bible-based.
Amen.
Okay? So here's where you were if you saved. And if you're not saved, here's where you are. And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. And if you're not saved, you're still walking according to the course of this world.
Amen.
According to the prince of the power of the air. Okay, y'all might not be a lot of people here, but I guarantee you something, there's a bunch of demons up in here.
Amen.
I guarantee you the prince of the power of the air is here. In the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Let me say that again, just somebody missed it. Among whom Also, we all had our conversations in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's why when you hear me quote it, and it ought to, you guys ought to all know it. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, if any man or woman be in Christ, they are a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, not the person I used to be. Okay? Look at me, I'm not. Behold, all things have become new. Become new. How did they become new? Watch this now, verse 4. But God, to the children of wrath, to those who had all our conversation time past, and the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature evil and wicked, despiteful, just whatever. Messed up folks. But God, who is rich in mercy. Okay? We was talking about the Rockefellers this morning. And we talk about the Rockefellers, we talk about LeBron money and all that. They don't have the riches that God has. The old folks used to say he owns a cattle on a thousand hills. Okay? But God, who is his rich in mercy. Young boys would say, he filthy rich. He filthy rich. He is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. See, average mercy couldn't save one of us in here. Okay?
Amen.
It had to be, what kind of mercy? Great mercy. It had to be great love. But we all been still dead in our trespasses and sin. We would all be still walking in our old former conversation, the lust of our flesh, and in the desires of our flesh. We would all still be there if it wasn't for what? His great mercy. Okay? But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. He loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, he loved us and have quickened us together with Christ, with his son. How did he do that? By allowing his son to die for us. I know this is basic, but it is just necessary. Just refresh us. Let us know what God has done for us. Let us know the great things that God has done for us. Sometimes we take our eyes off of it. And Satan just gives us so many distractions. This world gives us so many distractions. And sometimes we just have to get a basic course, a refresher course. Okay? His great love saved us. And what was that great love? Found on Calvary's cross. Found on Calvary's cross. And he's raised us up to be with his son. You know that salvation? Salvation is great. The salvation that God has shown us was a great salvation. That's what it took for us to escape. How many ever looked at it like that? Remember when you were lost? Remember when you didn't care for the things of God? Did you ever look at it like you was locked up? You was in prison? You was trapped? You ever talk to someone with an addiction? With a problem? With issues? And they don't know the Lord? And you look at them like, man, how can I help them? How can I get them out? How many of us, we got loved ones like that?
Amen.
And you look at them and they lost. And they don't know the Lord. Have you ever looked at them like, they in Satan's prison? When we look back on our lives, when we didn't know the Lord, did we think like, man, I was locked up. I was doing a time. I was doing a bit, as they would say. I was locked up. I was doing time. I had a number. Imagine you in prison, you got a number, and somebody knock on your door and say, you know what? The governor has pardoned you. How many of them folks would think, well, you know what? I don't want to be pardoned. I don't want to go home. I like being in prison. That was us. That's our loved ones. They heard the word. I'm gonna let you out of that mess you're in. And I don't wanna be out. Mm-hmm. I like this. I like being a thug. I like sleeping around with five or six guys. I like getting so drunk I can't find my way home and vomiting all over the place. Here's what the writer of Hebrews says about the salvation that came to those who believe. We were in that stuff. He said, therefore, we ought to what? Give them the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Talking to believers who had Satan beaten on us. These Jewish believers wanted to go back. It was a little easier. Hebrews 2 and 1, I'm at. And he says that we ought to get a more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. So we talk about church attendance. I preached a message a couple months ago on church attendance, why we're supporting attend church. The fact that we don't like to come, we don't come. What's happening? I mean, if you don't like the preacher, I don't like the preacher. You got to find you a place to go where you're hearing God's word. Amen. Why? Lest at any time we should let them slip. And when you casually can miss church here and miss church there, sooner or later, you're going to be out, way back out in the sea. The picture is of a ship being harnessed down so it won't move. When you slip away that harness, you take away that harness, and that ship gradually drifts back into what it was doing before. Look at verse 3. Here's our verse. How shall we escape? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Salvation is great. The fact that God has saved you, it is a great thing. It ought to be the greatest thing in your life. I hear stuff. People say, what's the greatest day of my life? Oh, it's the greatest day of my life. Oh, it's the greatest day of my life. And I'm sitting here lying. Let me tell you something. If you're saved, the day you graduated from college, the day you got married, the day your first child was born, any other great events I'm missing? Those are all secondary. Amen. To the believer. Amen. The day that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is the greatest day of the believer's life. Bar none. So you in a conversation, our baseball team won the state champions, the greatest day in our life. Let me tell you something. If your kid is saved and they say that, you just pop them on the back of the head. You tell them, get in front of that microphone. This is the second greatest day of my life. Get a new something to think about. And they go, what's the first greatest thing in your life? The day that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. How about that? 21 News want to pull that microphone away from you. We don't want to talk to your kid. Listen. Here's Peter talking to the church. And this is one we're familiar with. It just came up. It says, for the time has come. How about that? We're talking about great salvation. The responsibility to come with it. 1 Peter 4:17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. How about that? Why is it must begin here? Okay? Because God has given the house of God, the church of God, a great responsibility to do what? A whole thing for BBF. To shine for Jesus. That's the church's responsibility. What we've been teaching these kids all week. And shine for Jesus. Amen. Shine for Jesus. And when the kids come in here and they see us working and serving them and serving each other, loving each other, they look around and say, this is different. This is different. It's a supernatural. So when visitors come to our church, they ought to see something supernatural. Okay? When an unsaved person look at a believer, they ought to see something supernatural. Whoa. What happened to you? Why are you serving? Why are you picking up paper? Why are you out here every day, 2 weeks in a row? Our church only do it for 3 days, and it get on our nerves. Kids get on our nerves. I'll be glad when it's over. Y'all out here 2 weeks. Serving and cleaning and preparing food and doing what Christ called us to do. And that's to serve.
Amen.
That's an example that he left. So when I hear Sylvia pray, you know what? Listen, I'm praying too. I'm praying for Rita. I'm like, Rita, get him knee strength for 1 week. Ice him down. Some icy hot on him or something. I was at the Outlet Mall yesterday. I said, get rid of some of these walkabout Skechers. We went into the Skechers store. Give me some strength. Give Miss Margaret some strength. Give Miss Margaret some patience. Don't let her. I know my peoples. Give her something supernatural.
Amen.
Because see, you can't serve God without the supernatural. Don't try. Okay, you can't serve God without supernatural. So don't try to force people to serve God. Because see, you can't serve God without the right stuff. It's hard. See? So Peter's sitting here saying to his church, he said, listen, we have to shine for Jesus. We have to stand for Jesus. Even when persecution comes and trials come and adversity come and all kind of mess come up in our lives. Okay? For the time has come and judgment must begin in the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be to them that obey not the gospel of God? And just in case we get high and lifted up, like we got it all together to the point where we can look down on people. Let me tell you something. If you think you're going to walk into God's heaven with your chest poked out and your head up high and you got on all your fine stuff, let me tell you something. That's not biblical.
Amen.
The word of God says, and if the righteous scarcely be saved. You ever been driving in your car or something and somebody almost hit you? And you be like, your heart pounding and stuff? That's the walk of the believer. See, we ought to walk understanding that we too are only kept by the grace and the mercy and the love of God. Okay? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Okay. Saved. The great things God has done. All right, listen. Here's one. Boy, if the churches would embrace this one. Okay. Great joy. How about that? How's your joy? How's your joy? Is it great? Is it a great joy? I think about it. I had a verse here. Think about this great joy. When you realize you're in a relationship with the Lord. Remember when they call them the three wise men. We know it might have been a whole entourage. But when they saw the star, okay? When they saw the star, when they knew that God had led them to where Jesus was, what happened? The Word of God says this in Matthew 2:10. They rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Great joy. They rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Great joy. When the disciples came and looked into the tomb and they seen that Jesus wasn't there, John got there first. He looked in. Peter came and he went in. And here's what the text say. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy. Why? Because he knew that he had resurrected or had resurrected from the grave. We know that. We don't have to see it. We can go to Israel. We can go on vacation to Israel. And they'll show us the tomb where he was buried. Where he was buried. Listen. Do we have to see that? To have great joy? No. Why? We have his word. And we ought to have great joy when we sit in his, when we listen to his word and we hear his word and we understand his word and we apply his word to our life. And when adversity comes in our life, we take the word of God and apply it to it. And it'll bring us great joy. Peter says, whom having not seen you love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing. Watch this now. You guys know this verse. You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Full of glory. When you believe and you have not seen and you believe and you rejoice and you have joy unspeakable. Can't even talk about it all the time about how good God is. Okay? And then you're full of glory. That word full of glory got my attention. What's it mean to be full of glory? How about that? Full of glory. Full of anticipation that one day when I leave here, I'm going to be with the Lord. That's what it means to be full of glory. You have an anticipated glory, an anticipated date that when you leave here, you're going to be in the presence of God. You're going to be with the Lord. That ought to bring us joy. See, we're going to sit here and think about, oh, you know, when I leave here, oh, I got to go to heaven. Oh, I got to go to heaven. Oh, I got to walk on the streets of gold. Oh, Lord. I ain't going to find out if the Browns ever win a Super Bowl. I don't even know. So we sit here like, oh, Lord. I don't know if Trump going to get another term in office. I want to stay here and see. Who? I ain't. It's not that serious, huh? Would you rather be in heaven? Be no more tears? I heard a song, man said he got to heaven, seen all his loved ones, seen all his folks, seen the people that love the Lord, and he wanted to cry, but the tears wouldn't even flow. See, we don't think about it like that. There'd be tears of joy that can't flow in heaven too. It just ain't gonna be tears because your favorite deacon ain't there. When you get to heaven, you're gonna want to cry. God not ain't gonna allow you to cry for the joy of heaven. Listen. I'm gonna give like fire us up. I still be hit it on the nose. So give strength. We need strength for this next week. We need power for this next week. You got it. Sylvia just reminding you in her prayer that you have it. How do I know you have it? If you don't have it, if you don't have it, the only reason you don't have it. You figure this out. But you shall receive power. Okay? That's what the word of God said, not me. This is why I stick with it. Acts 1:8. But you shall, here's our word shall, you shall receive power. He didn't say you might receive it. He didn't say if you had to work hard enough, you get it. He didn't say you had to speak in tongues to get it. Okay? Amen. He didn't say you had to jump through hoops to get it. You had to serve to get it. You had to be an usher to get it or a deacon to get it. He didn't say that. He said you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall. There's our word. This power is designed to give you the strength to witness.
Amen.
Okay? See, don't let the charismatics get you all confused. Okay? God gives us the Holy Ghost to empower us so that we shall be witnesses unto both me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Our power is given to us to do exactly what we're doing for these 2 weeks. We ought to be doing it for 52 weeks. Okay? We ought to be doing it for 52 weeks. In some form or fashion, we ought to be out telling lost souls about Jesus. Okay? Not just VBS 2 weeks. No, every week, every day. Every day, one of our prayers should be, Lord, give me somebody. Put somebody in my life today so I can tell them about Jesus. Now, let me tell you something. God will answer that prayer. Okay? God will answer that prayer. Even if he just has set you up in Walmart. Okay? Just go up to Subway in Walmart and just sit there and everybody go by and wave at him. And you ain't got to put a sticker on you or nothing. You ain't got to wear, I got a Jesus hat and what would Jesus do bracelet. Just talk to folks. Talk to folks in line. When you're out somewhere, talk to folks in line. Just say, hey, just strike up a conversation. And you realize real quick. John Wesley used to say this. He'd say, right away, the first thing I encountered a stranger, the first question I would ask in my soul is, does this person know Jesus Christ or not? Or he would say, is this person going to heaven or going to hell? And people let you know real quick. Amen. Okay? You don't need a doctorate. You don't need to go to cemetery. Okay? And people of the world will let you know right away that they need Jesus.
Amen.
And if you offer to them, they let you know right away, I don't want none of your Jesus. Okay? They will let you know. Real quick. Okay? So God's going to give us power. And if you don't have it, that's on you. Because I think that's another prayer God would answer. God, Pastor, I'm talking about this power that come with when I received the Holy Ghost. Well, I didn't get it. Okay? Now, you'll have a fit if you went to Burger King and ordered the three-piece chicken tenders and only got two. You gonna ride around and pull up into the front, probably get a handicapped spot, and go right in there and say, listen, I only got two. That ought to be the same thing we ought to do when, okay, Lord, listen, I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I came to church, I sat down in them chairs, and I ain't received the Holy Ghost. I need this Holy Ghost because the preacher telling me I need the Holy Ghost. I hope I'm making sense. Our fellowship. You know, one of the things, and I make this look different, but the 2 weeks when we have VBS, the two weeks that we do it, that I get the chance to sit down in the lobby out there and talk to everybody. Laugh and talk, share stories, and just watching other people, and you know, find out about people. Now, you know, our communion and our fellowship should be great. It should be great. Now, when I say that, we don't need 1,000 folks. Okay? Clarence used to tell me this all the time. See, everything growing, everything getting big ain't healthy. Okay? Everything getting big ain't healthy. Okay? See, if I go to the doctor on the 11th, he say, well, Reverend, your rotator cuff tear is getting bigger. I'm not going to be happy. Okay? It's about to explode in your shoulder. Oh, Lord, hey, hallelujah, amen, I can't wait. No. I want him to say it's getting better. I want him to say it's healing on itself. It's getting smaller. See, sometimes things have to get small before they can get healthy. I got this David thinking. And now, some of y'all know where I'm going. Psalms 122. I love this song. I love this song. And David, and for me, I love coming to God's house. I love coming up in here and seeing y'all. Okay? I love watching, see
I've been here now. I've been here 9 years, and this is the first time in 9 years that I've seen Margaret wear an outfit twice.
See, I be paying attention. I'm like, I've seen her wear that dress before. But that's part of the fellowship. Okay? If Jackie and Ariana and Ella ain't back there making noise, I'm like, Jake, what's wrong with your kids? What y'all doing to them? See, this is part of the fellowship, what we do. Amen. Sylvia come in here and don't hit that tambourine. I'm like, uh-oh, somebody made Sylvia mad. She ain't hit the tambourine. It is what it is. It's what it is. One day, Davida gonna say, Pastor, I want to pray today. Because it's what we do in God's house. And David was glad. David said, I was glad. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. What made David glad? What made David glad? The people who asked him to go. He had some folks that he might have met on his walk to Jerusalem. And David might have been the next to Jerusalem, because they got to David's house. They said, David, it's time to go to the house of the Lord. And David didn't wave out the window. Not today, not today. You know, didn't get my hair done. I got to run in my stockings. My car won't start. Or, you know, I got a ball game. Or I'm going to Kennywood Park. David said, I was glad. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Into the house of the Lord. What is they going in there for? He said, our feet shall stand within the gates of Jerusalem. Oh, and Jerusalem is built as that city that is compact together. Now watch verse number 4. I got a couple more, I'm going to let y'all go. But watch verse number 4. Watch this. Whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord. Now watch this now. Unto the testimony of Israel to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. What's that testimony? When you put your stockings on, you put your dress on, you put your pants on, whatever you put on something, you're going to church. And folks see you going to church, and folks know you're going to church. You know what you're doing? You are giving a testimony. That's your testimony. I'm going to church. I'm going to church. That's a testimony to a lost world. Amen. That's a testimony. And that was David's testimony. He says, whether the tribes go up, all those that are called by God, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of the God of Israel. I put the God of Israel there, but it's a testimony of God, of what God has done when we go to God's house. What a testimony. What a testimony. And you know what? And I can go through so many psalms that jumped out at me when I started looking at this verse. And we ought to love coming to God's house. We ought to be glad that the doors are still open. Songs are being sang. We're singing out of hymn books right now. But you know what? We're going to sing to the Lord. Amen. We're going to sing to the Lord until God decides that he's going to add to the church. And he's going to do it different. Not different in our way, but he going to do something. And if he don't, we just going to keep on doing what we do. David says this in Psalms 42. But this is not David, but it's what it says in Psalms 42. And you guys know this. Talk about fellowship. Talk about great fellowship. Talk about a desire to want a fellowship. David, this writer, Mashiach, says this. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? And when I remember these things,
I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept the holy day. Sound like they had a relationship. Sound like that church is where the people of God commune. I always tell people the church, ecclesia, it's a place where God's people, God's called out people, gather and assemble. The world's not. There's no place in the world where we ought to find more joy as believers than in God's house. There's nowhere. I mean, you know, we can go to a ball game, a Cavs game. We can go to Campfield Fair. We can go all these places. The world, there's a lot of places to go, but there shouldn't be no place we go where we find our joy. We ought to find it in God's house.
Amen.
We ought to be happy to be among God's people. We ought to be able to laugh at each other and talk to each other. This is family. And most of us in here see the people of God more than you see your own family. Most of us. This is family. We sit here. You know, I know the blood. I know blood thicker than mud and all that. Okay? But some of us got some unsaved family members that ain't fun to talk to.
Amen.
Don't want to be around them. Ain't my family. We'll spend $1,000 to get to the family reunion and sit around a bunch of drunks. And won't get a church a dime to be around folks that have been born again. We'll travel all the way to Alabama. Sitting in 99 degree weather. And watching folks sneaking around smoking dope and drinking and cussing. And down there with their girlfriends. And oh, Lord have mercy. Oh, there go little Bobby doing the same thing. Little Bow Wow, little Pee Wee. Oh, this is my kid. You know? Little bad kids. Don't. I'm getting in trouble, but I'm all right. Can I help somebody? Let's finish. Let's finish. How about this one? There's a peace to come with being knowing God. Okay? See, when we think about peace, think about it like this. I'm not saying every situation is going to be wonderful. Okay, but there's a peace that comes with being in a relationship with God that the world definitely can't offer you. You going through it, your life may be turned upside down, but guess what? You can still, because you're in a relationship with God, have peace even within the midst of the storm. You can still have peace even in the midst of the storm because of your relationship with God. Your relationship with God will give you peace in your time of trouble. Okay, that's what it's designed to do. He says, Psalms 119 and 165 say, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. How about that? That's a wonderful verse. And listen, Sister Claire over here, who done been through some stuff, she know that verse. Lean on that verse. In the lost world, don't even understand. How can you still be praising God and you're going through all this? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That word offend there, move them. You're going to be offended. You serving God, you're going to be offended. You serving God and you're going through and folks don't. All right, listen. She must don't care. She don't. I listen. Nothing. She don't even understand the peace of God. See, the word of God said there's a peace of God that what? Passeth all understanding. The world won't even understand your peace.
Amen.
They won't understand your peace. You bury the loved one and you ain't falling apart. You ain't jumping in the casket. They don't even understand that. They come for a show. Have them come for a show. And then they come and see the peace of God on display. Because the word of God said that those that know the Lord are not mourn like the world that have no hope. How about that? There is no peace. Say, my God. How about this? Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57 and 21. There is no peace. Say, my God, to the wicked. How about that? One verse.
There's no peace, say my God, to the wicked. You ever try to talk to a wicked person about peace? Oh, they didn't even give them all the verses. You know, vengeance is mine, say the Lord. No, I got to handle this. Because that's all wicked know. That's all the wicked know. And when Peter got out of whack and Peter got out of sorts and tried to cut the man's head off, he wasn't going for his ear. He was going for the man's head. Yeah, he wasn't aiming for the ear. I'm going to just cut his ear off. No, he wasn't. And what did Jesus say? He said, you live by it, you die by it. And you know what? Satan has an army of people out there. And they're telling you to handle your business. Handle your business. You handle your business. That's all they know. That's all they know. That's all Satan knows. He has a threefold plan. Satan, John 10:10. Satan come to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. And what did Jesus say? I come to give you what? Life. And that more abundantly. Abundantly. How about that? And you know what? There's a thing going on in the world right now in the churches. And you know what? Trying to deceive you. A lot of trickery going on in the house of God. And it's understandable because it's biblical. Because you know what the word of God say in the last days? He said there shall rise false Christs and false prophets. And shall show great signs and wonder in so much that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. How about that? They would deceive the very elect. And I sat here and we talked about this in Sunday school. You know, there's a deception going out there. You got to be careful. Okay? God didn't call us to be fools. He didn't say it. People said it. Like sheep are dumb animals. Ain't that dumb? Good sheep gonna stay next to the shepherd. Okay? People say, oh, you know, sheep are dumb animals. Sheep know I don't have claws. I don't have sharp teeth. I don't run real fast. I got these little stubby legs. I need to stay close. Tell me that's dumb. There ain't nothing dumb about that. Okay? Ain't nothing. Give you great peace by his word. I'm closed. Blessed is the man. See, we all hear people, I'm blessed. And it's all material. And it's all prosperity. Here's, next time somebody tell you they're blessed, tell them to quote Psalms 1-3. Next time somebody tell you they're blessed, how you doing? Blessed. Too blessed to be stressed. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Okay? Where are you getting your counsel from? Where are you getting your counsel from, blessed man, blessed woman? Nor standeth in the way of sinners. There's some church folks that all their friends is unsaved. And know what an unsaved person going to tell a saved person? This is how the world do it. And you're going to tell them this is what the Lord say. Oh, man, I don't want to hear that. This is what we do. See? That's what sinners do. And when you stand in the way of sinners, you're taking advice and counsel from sinners. It ain't going to be biblical. And your relationship with the Lord should drive them away from you or drive them to the Lord. That makes sense? It should. See? This is why I say it's a narrow way. It's a narrow road to lead to heaven. And few be on that road. What am I talking about? What's the word of God talking about? Because see, if you walk in the way of the Lord and you walk in by the statutes and the counsel of God, you're not going to have a whole lot of folk in your life. They call you up, well, you know, grandma, uncle, cousin, I'm going through this. But here's what the Lord say. Here's what God's word say. Oh. And then sooner or later, they're going to say, well, ain't no use calling auntie so-and-so. Because they're going to tell you is that Bible. Amen. That's what they're going to. Ain't no use calling. Ain't no use talking to Jacob about nothing. He's sitting there. Ain't no use talking to him. He is a Bible-thumping machine. He's going to answer everything with scripture. Call Ann.
Now see what she said about you going and going on a cruise with a boy that ain't your husband.
Ain't no use calling on Ann. See, they use it. They'll use it against you. Now let's go on. You know, why don't you call Grandma Claire and see what she got to say? Nah.
Because they already know.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law do he meditate day and night. You know what he said? Know that word meditate meaning that he applies the word of God to everything. How about that? And you know what? God blesses that person that does that. He or she shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. This tree didn't grow up by the rivers of water. This tree was taken from somewhere else and put there, close to the water. And that water nourishes that plant. And the word of God is that water. And if we plant ourselves next to it, we like to hear it. We want to hear it read, sang, and prayed. We're going to nurture. We're going to grow up. And guess what? When the storms come and the droughts come, because that tree has got them deep roots, it ain't going to get brittle and fall over. You ride around the different neighborhoods, the trees all tore up, falling on people's houses and stuff. Listen, this tree is like a planet. It should be like a tree planted. Planted by the rivers of water. Planted by who? Planted by God. Amen. That bringeth forth fruit in the season. His leaf also shall not wither. How about that? Should not wither. When a tree wither? Heat hit it. The tree's a picture of us. When the heat hit us, adversity hit us, trials hit us, how do we do? What do we do? How do we do? We wither. Y'all think I've been preaching at this church, what, 9 years? 8 years? 9 years? 8, 9 years? In 9 years, my life been adversity free, trial free. No problems at all. That's why he can do it. I ain't been through nothing in 9 years. I had nothing. No attacks, nothing. You know, you like Job. God got a hedge around you. No. Okay? Amen. One Job. He's not up here. Okay? Okay? See, all who desire to live godly in Christ shall suffer. Okay? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. You think for a moment, just what's going on in this church in the last 3 or 4 years. Pastor, it didn't bother him at all. Let me tell you something. It's good I'm bald. It's good I shaved my head. I wouldn't have had none anyway. After that, I could have had a the meanest fro ever. You know, you go through some stuff. Nobody want to see folks leave and members leave and you know stuff like that. Go through. And all you have, sometimes you can't talk to a whole lot of people. All you have is one. The law of the Lord. You stand by the word of God. You stand on God's word, and God's word is designed to give you strength in your time of need and that adversity and that stuff come. Here's what the word of God says. The ungodly are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind bloweth and driveth away. The average preacher in America don't last for 3 years. 4,000 churches close every month in America. Preachers just walk away, get a little tough, and walk away. Find another church. Go to Florida. Go to California. You know, get away from it all. And let me finish this verse. I'm going to close. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let me tell you something. You follow Christ. And don't let no preacher tell you. Don't let nobody tell you. It's going to be smooth sailing. They can't even tell you that on a cruise. you get on one of them cruising big old ships, and there's many of them going down. And they had one cruise, the whole cruise up there on a cruise ship fighting. Everybody fighting. The staff and everybody. Life ain't smooth sailing. If you're going to serve God, it's going to be tough. We sing the song. I'm on the battlefield for the Lord. I don't know if we'll always believe that. Okay. We get 2 weeks of BBS and we got to get through it. Lord, give me strength. Thank you, Sylvia. Lord, give me strength. Maybe we have a two-week revival one time. Get some adult folks in here and try to deal with them. Amen. Start a prison ministry and start going to nursing homes and different things and ministering to folks. I like that. Well, let's pray.